hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put one foot in front of the other. Hallelujah. And say, I believe. I believe. I believe. And before long, you start seeing what you believe. The faith, the just shall walk by faith. But Lord, I don't want to walk by faith all my life. I want to see. David said, I would have fainted except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to see what I'm believing for. But I won't see it, Sister Valentine, if I don't step out. Step out. Hallelujah. Thank you for stepping out tonight. Hallelujah. Whatever you're believing God for, get ready to step out and claim it by faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-mm. My, my, my. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. He was the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. And His Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19 and 19. I just feel that laboring Spirit of the Lord here tonight where you just want to kind of stay in it. 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed thence and found Elisha. Speaking of Elijah, finding his successor, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th, he was on the 12th oxen. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, now this is where my text is coming from him. He said, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Down in 2 Kings 2:13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back, and he stood this time by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. I want to get over. I want to get over it, don't you? I want to get over it. I want to talk about what have I done to thee? What have I done to thee? God, I come before your presence. And Lord, we don't even know which way the wind will blow, much less as you compared it to the Spirit, as it blows where it listeth. Hallelujah. But Lord, if you just give me the mind of Christ, then I can go with whatever you direction you want me to go, I can go in that direction because I know you're with me. Lord, bless us tonight as we endeavor to learn more about life in our life class tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you again for yielding to the Holy Ghost. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever been shunned by others. Have you ever been shunned? I call them Shunanites. They're the tribe of the Shunanites. And they shun you. And sometimes when people shun you, you wonder, what did I do to you? I mean, what is it that, you know... It happens to me, you know, every once in a while, especially at Lowe's and Walmart, Academy, Target, and other churches and other places. People shun you, and you wonder, what did you hear? What was it that you heard? What did I say? Even David approached King Saul. He said, "What is my transgression? I mean, you're throwing javelins at me. You're telling people stuff about me. And all I've done is served you and been of a good behavior. And what is my transgression? Tell me what I did to you to deserve this." Have you ever felt like that? Amen. And sometimes we don't know the underlying cause of somebody's behavior, why they treat you like they do. But Elijah had some bizarre behavior of his own. I'm glad that the Lord did not use perfect people in his book that he wrote, because if it was perfect people that he used, I would feel like I could never achieve anything. But you know, Elijah was, he was a man that was mighty with the Lord, but he was depressed. And I thank God I've never been depressed over about 3 minutes. My depression lasts about 3 minutes. That's about it. And I go like, get over this. That ain't gonna work. But his depression, you know, one day he's calling fire down out of heaven, and he's a mighty man. I mean, just him and his servant there, around hundreds of prophets, and he calls this fire down out of heaven, and this fire is so strong. You understand? It's so strong. It doesn't just consume the sacrifice. It consumed the water that was scarce in those days, for they're going through a drought, and it took up the stones. It burned the stones. There was nothing left. This is it, everything that was attached to the sacrifice and the sacrifice was consumed, right? We serve God. Our God is a what kind of fire? A consuming fire. And so it was all taken up. And of course, the other prophets could not reproduce that. And he began to slay all these prophets. And so before long, though, this same man that we find that is so mighty is now running for his life. He now is depressed. He thinks now, I'm the only one serving God. I am the only one living for you. I'm the only one listening. There wasn't nobody there to support me to kill all these people but me and my servant. Where were all the rest of them? Lord, they slew your prophets and now they seek my life and I'm high. I'm tired of it. He was really, let me just tell you, that's what happens when you get to the end. You get tired. You get tired and you seek isolation. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life I want to get away from everybody. I just don't get away from everybody. You know, I just shoot. And so sometimes when you get to the end of your road, whether it's a day, a week, or your life, you just want to get away from everybody. And so this man had reached the end of his career with God, except for three things. He had to anoint three different people, only one of which we have record he anointed. Jehu anointed the other one, one of the other ones. And so we find here that this man is in a cave and the Lord speaks to him and said to arise and go and find the one that will take your place. Now that's kind of hard, isn't it? You think about that. I'm done with you. Now go find the one to take your place. That's a tough commandment, because anytime somebody's going to take your place, you always look for somebody like you, right? If I want somebody to take my place, I want somebody to be like me. I want somebody, if they're going to manage money like I want them to manage like I do. I want, you know, just a continuity of things. And so same thing with ministering here. We always want people to take our place because we think we know what we need to take our place. But the Lord said, I want you to go find a guy whose name is Elisha, the son of Zaphath. I want you to go find him. I don't know that he told him where he was at, but he goes on this hunt for this guy. And he leaves this cave, probably not too happy about having to do this, but he has reached the end of his tenure with God. And he's going to find a man to take his room. And so I don't know where he started searching at, but my best guess, if I was searching for one, perhaps I would go to the school of the prophets. Because in that area, there was the school of the prophets. So sometimes you're looking for a preacher, you call headquarters and say, who do you have in Bible college, you know? Who do you have in Bible school? Who's seeking to be a preacher? Who's wanting to be a prophet? So if he's going to find a prophet, if I was Elijah, and I don't know that he did or he didn't, but he was obviously attached. He may have been one of the teachers at the school of prophets. It was called the Sons of the Prophets. And they were teaching these young men how to be prophets. So it only makes sense that first I would go check the roster and see the dean of the school and say, could I check the roster? Do you have one named here, Elisha, a son of Zaphath? Do you have a guy named that? He said, no, I don't have anybody by that name. No one's ever enrolled here in that college. He's like, where would I go find somebody to take my place? Because I want somebody like me. And so the Bible says that in his search, he comes to a place where they are plowing. They are plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And the man on the end, or the 12th one, was the one he was after. It was Elisha, the son of Zaphath. And now he's got to throw this mantle whether he likes it or not. Whether he picks him or not, that's what I like about God. You don't have to pick me. God picks me. And if you're going to be obedient to God, then you'll pick me then because God picked me. And so he has this. Anybody have one of those shawls y'all wear when it gets cold in here? Anybody got one of those? No, you're just, yeah, that's what I want. I won't bark long, Laura, I promise. Let me bark. Here. Hey, plowboy, come up here. You be plowing. You plowing, okay?
Okay.
You're plowing. You're going to plow that way, okay? And he's plowing. Don't go too fast. He's plowing, you know. And I'm just going to come by, and I'm like, okay, let's see if that's him. And he throws this mantle over him, and he keeps you. Thank you. She's getting cold already. He throws this mantle over the plowboy, not the preacher, not the usher, not the deacon, the plowboy. And so that's why the Lord had to tell him who it was. Because if he hadn't told him who it was, he'd have never picked him. And so he told him who it was. So he goes by, he's walking by, and he's going to see how he responds. So he comes by with the mantle, and he takes the mantle, and he throws it over Elisha. Now, a mantle is, in the Bible, was an anointing. It was a covering that they wore as a shawl that they would wear. And it was a medium through which God would talk. You know, the mantle of the earth. You ever heard of that in geography? The mantle of the earth is that earth between the crust and the core. That's kind of what the mantle is, between the crust and the core. It is that part where it was, would God would descend through this medium to them. Even David, when he wanted to know, should I go and recover all, he asked for the prayer shawl. He asked for the ephod. It was a mantle. They also had what was called a Urim. If you ever looked in the Bible, they had what was called a Urim. It's something they'd lay over their heart. And when Saul got in trouble trying to find the Lord, he even tried to find God through the Urim, and he couldn't find the Lord through that. So there were different mediums. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I like to sometimes get my Bible, and I hold it like this. It just seems to help. I don't know if there's anything to it or not, but it puts me in the right frame of mind. And so he takes this mantle, represent the anointing layer, the covering of God, as he passes by, and he throws this on this man. And so here is Elijah. He knows what the mantle is capable of doing. Listen close. Elijah knows what the mantle is capable of doing. He had just wrapped his face in it moments before in the cave, right? So he throws this mantle that he knows what it will do, but Elisha does not know what it will do. So he will get to see what the anointing will do to him without a man saying, God called you to preach. I've seen many a young boy and girl ruined by some preacher saying, the Lord told me you're going to win 1,000 souls. You're going to be a preacher. You're going to be... Just shut up. If they're going to be a preacher, they're going to be a preacher. Let the anointing determine that and not you. I'm not saying that you may not have the anointing, but you cannot speak into people's lives unless you are knowing what you're doing, because it messes people up. But I'm going to tell you, anything that God's going to do, he can do it without you saying it. But he took the mantle and he threw it over this man. And when he threw it over, the Bible says that he kept walking. He kept walking, but this man quit plowing. All of a sudden, this man stops. He stops in his track. He wanted to see what his response would be. He wasn't praying. He wasn't fasting. He wasn't seeking God or reading his Bible while he was plowing. He was just working, an everyday Joe, if you will, to the world. But when that mantle hit him, his reaction was so spiritual that it was profound. Amen. When the anointing came upon him as he passed by, all of a sudden something came over him that perhaps he had never felt in his life. And so it sounds crazy, but the anointing makes you do crazy things. He quit his job. Don't quit your job because some man say God called you to preach. You better know what you're doing. And so Elijah, the Bible says, when the mantle hit him, he left his oxen. There was only 11 plowing now. He said, see y'all later. And so he ran after. Watch this. Elijah kept walking. This man, all of a sudden, whoo, my God, something got a hold. You, come here, you. And he leaves them plowing, and he chases him down, and immediately you see his attitude. He said, let me. You see, the anointing is a submissive thing. People that are defiant to man and to God will never go anywhere with the anointing. You cannot defy it and expect it to work for you. As soon as he was anointed, he runs to the man and he said, let me. In other words, you're already in charge. You're already in charge of my life. Let me, I pray thee, at least go back and kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And the Bible says, and he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done unto you? What have I done? All I did was threw the mantle over you. I didn't say God called you. I didn't say, what have I done? All I've done is introduced you to the anointing. My. And sometimes if we're going to follow the anointing, hear me close. You're going to follow the anointing. There's some things you got to kiss goodbye. Because the anointing will lead you places where your family won't go with you. They'll lead you places your coworkers won't go. Your brothers and sisters will not follow you. But if you're going to be led by the anointing, there are some things and some people you must kiss goodbye. Tradition is one of them. Sometimes it's your own stubborn will. You got to kiss your will goodbye and say, sir, let me. Let me. May I? And so we find that this anointing starts out with a submissive thing. It's a submissive thing. Let me go back and get rid of those things that would hinder me in following you. And so he goes back again because he wants to get rid of anything that will hinder the anointing. Even Paul said, I'm not married because I don't want to hinder the anointing. I don't want to have children. I'd have to tend to them little boys and girls, and that would hinder the anointing. So if you really want to flow with the anointing, you've got to get rid of things that hinder you from doing the work of God. And so Elisha returns back, and the Bible says he took a yoke of oxen and he boiled him. He slew the oxen. He's doing what Elijah did on Mount Carmel. He was consuming everything. What he didn't eat, he burned. He was consuming everything so that there's nothing to go back to. You know, I thought Peter was committed when you read about Peter following Christ. But there come a day where Christ was not around and he had already resurrected in this kingdom business. You know, you look, John, I don't know about this Jesus. You know, he talked about a kingdom right and left and all this kind of, look at me. I used to be pretty good at fishing and all that. He said, I go a fishing. That means he had a boat. I thought he sold out. I thought he got rid of his boat. I thought he was committed. I found out he really wasn't committed till he drug that last big haul to the bank. And the Lord said, lovest thou me more than these? That's where the commitment came in. Then he forsook it all and followed Christ. So if we don't step out, we can say we have faith. But if we don't step out, that is an act of faith. And faith without what? That's what I heard. Faith without works is dead. You can say I believe all you want to, but if you do not step out, it's dead. So he runs after him after he consumes everything that he has. And now the Spirit will make out of him what he can be and not what he was out of necessity. Sometimes you are what you are out of necessity. Do you understand that? I do what I do out of necessity. But when the Spirit gets a hold of you, it will break the necessity and it will find a way for you to be what God wants you to be without the necessity of having to be what the world wants you to be. That doesn't mean you got to quit your job and all that kind of stuff. I have found a way through God's help to be what he wants me to be, and I still work a full-time job. So you can too. Everybody can. And so here we find that the Bible says that Elisha went after him, and the Bible says, and ministered unto him. Now, to me, this seems kind of backwards because you always think that the preacher should be, he's the minister, right? And so I minister to you, right? That's right. And so here's Elijah, and it said Elisha ministered to him. See, this word minister means, it comes from the word administer, or administer comes from minister, so that it means to serve the need of another. So that when I minister to you, I'm not trying to be the preacher or the pastor, I'm trying to be the minister where I minister to your needs. The greatest thing a minister can do is feed you the Word of God. And so the Bible says that even Christ came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And so too many times I'm afraid that our ministry today has fallen short of being the servant that they're supposed to be. They want to be up here and let everybody else give to them. I don't know why, and pardon me, I guess y'all cut it out of the CD if you want to. But I don't know why preachers have a mentality that you ought to give to me. I don't understand that. I've seen this all my life, that if you're the preacher, people are always handing you stuff. I don't have any favors to give you from God. I can't pray an extra blessing on you because you gave me something. What I like to see is what you're doing and others are doing. You're giving.